The Treasury Department still using systems that date back to the Eisenhower administration. Defense Department has a computer system that began when President John F. Kennedy was in the White House. Those are just two of 10 antiquated systems the Government Accountability Office found in a recent survey. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about GAO's findings and tries to answer the question whether it still matters that these systems are so old in his weekly Reporter's Notebook feature. He joins me now. Jason, when they say the systems date back to the Eisenhower administration, not the actual hardware, but the logic systems and the software basis are still running.
Correct. I mean, no hardware lasts that long, right? I mean, no car lasts that long. Even if you have a 64 Mustang, Tom, you still have new tires, right? So I think what they're talking about here are systems that are just old, that they've been around in use for decades. I mean, just take one from the Defense Department, the Strategic Automated Command and Control Systems. This coordinates the operational functions of the U.S. nuclear forces. Now, this is getting a lot of focus in the general press. How could the U.S. system, you know, that runs the nuclear forces still runs as 1970s IBM Series 1 computer? How can it still use 8-inch floppy disks? I mean, you know, that's mind-boggling.
So it does use 8-inch floppy disks. So the hardware is that old.
Well, the hardware is, but remember, there's other pieces of the system that aren't. So I think that's the key here, and we're going to get into that in a second.
It's kind of a Frankenstein deal that they've got going.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And it's very similar, and we'll talk about this later too, Tom, but the B-52 airplane. Yes, the B-52 has been flying since World War II, but if you go into it, is anything in that airplane still new? The seat, the steering wheel, but what else? I mean, not much else.
Yeah, these are what they call George Washington's hatchet. They replaced the handle along the way, they replaced the wedge along the way, and they replaced the blade along the way. But otherwise, it's all original.
Exactly. And listen, it's not just in DOD. The Treasury Department, specifically IRS, has two systems that are, quote unquote, 56 years old. The individual master file and the business master file both hold and are continuously updated records of citizens' businesses around tax payment and their history. In fact, this is interesting, Tom, at the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing last week, they talked about this system, the IRS master file, and Jason Chaffetz, the committee chairman, talked about the fact that this is written in such low-level computer code, it's difficult to write and still maintain. And again, it goes on. Veterans Affairs has a system that's 51 years old. Transportation Department has a system that's 46 years old. Commerce's NOAA has two systems that are at least 46 years old. And so this is a problem that goes across all of government. And really, in all, what we're talking about here, Tom, is code that is, you know, just lots of old code, 930 million lines of code using 70 legacy programming languages, including 155 million lines of code using COBOL and 135 million lines of code written in Fortran. So this is just part of this is the big problem. But the question is it a problem?
Now, these systems, even though they are that old, Jason, have been updated, haven't they? I mean, they still are running day-to-day, and people aren't using whatever equipment they might have looked at
it on. Green screen terminals.
Yeah. 40 years ago.
Of course not. I mean, look at your own computer at home. I mean, you're updating your systems all the time, right? The hardware, the server, the mainframe, none of that lasts 50 years, let alone even 20 years. So there is newer technology, and I think that's what the miscommunication's happening. You can get upset that the DoD system running the nuclear forces is 56 years old, but without a doubt, it's been updated many, many, many times over the last 5 decades. I mean, just take your iPhone or your Android phone. There's a new operating system, feels like, or an update every 6 months, every 3 months. So the phone you bought 6 months ago, Tom, is not the same phone you have today. So I think that's what's happening. I think that's being missed, generally speaking. In fact, I caught up with Bob Woods. He's a consultant today, but he's a former federal employee. He's been in government, was in government for more than 30 years. And he makes that same comparison to that B-52 airplane, 60, 70 years old, but really nothing's really the same in it. Woods says there are pieces you can modernize and that would make the old system, if you want, go faster, do things it couldn't do before, process the data better. But at the same time, they're also maybe more secured because they are called air-gapped, and you don't have to worry about some 16-year-old or even the Chinese trying to get inside it.
Sure.
In fact, that example came up at the hearing. Congressman Ted Lieu pressed DOD Chief Information Officer Terry Halverson on this 53-year-old strategic command and control system. Lieu kind of said, how many companies are using 8.5-inch floppy disks? And Halverson responded, I don't really know many, but there are plenty of private sector companies using old, really old technology. And he goes, listen, this system is reliable up to 5 nines, and it's secure because it's a closed system. So does age really matter if it's getting the job done? And that's, I think Bob Woods make the same point. There's plenty of functional components in these old systems that you may be a fool to try to upgrade, because over the years, the integration has become what he calls so knotty and tangled that to try to upgrade the entire system would just cause more problems than it's worth. But you do can upgrade modules or pieces of the system, which is, I think, what they're talking about doing.
Well, if you look at, say, the large airlines, some of the big banks, they all have COBOL or whatever it was written
in. Fortran or assembly or whatever you want.
Well, they have logic systems that were developed for a specific purpose, sometimes as far back as the late 50s or early 60s. And those are still at the heart of systems that are surrounded by a lot of modernized other additional systems. Like when you go to self-service on an airline, you're not touching the old system directly, but it's all cached and out front on client server systems or more modern web type systems. But at the heart of it is logic that actually still does the function that they needed to originally.
And I think that's what's going on here. I mean, GAO points out all these old systems, but the reason why they haven't been quote unquote upgraded is because they're still meeting their needs and they're doing it in a way that is secure and safe. Now, could it be better? Absolutely. Could they, you know, get a system in there in the cloud that could cut costs? And I think that's the other piece of this, is that's what they're looking at.
All right. So this brings us all to something that is a favorite of the CIO, Tony Scott, and others, and that is that $3.1 billion proposed modernization fund. How does this all tie into that? Now you've got GAO looking at this. You've got the CIO looking at this.
I think part of this, the reason why the Congress asked for this report is in some ways related back to both the OPM breach from last year, because OPM's troubles dealt with antiquated systems, but it also goes back to this idea of why do you need more money, and here is a list of evidence. Now, I think this, while it's shocking and it's great for the cameras, really what's going on here is Tony Scott, the federal CIO, is worried about is technology from the client server era. So 15, 20 years ago, that's being used on the front end of so many systems. That's where the cybersecurity risks happen. In fact, he told me just last week, Tom, that the agencies have at least $3 billion worth of old hardware and software that's either out of support or will be out of support in the next 3 years. I think that's the bigger concern. And what we saw from the hearing last week was, if you will, a thaw. The Congressman Jason Chaffetz, for instance, is warming up to this idea of a $3.1 billion fund. The idea is who's going to pay for it. I think that's what's coming from all this discussion about legacy systems.
Yes, because you have federal managers that know what their long-term requirements are. They can do capital planning as well as anybody in the private sector. But their system for getting it paid for is the federal budgeting process, which is pay-as-you-go cash accounting year by year.
And I think the challenge is, what do you do with the old system if you don't have money to turn them off and turn it on? You really, agencies really are struggling about that O&M versus DME, in the sense that how do you remove money from the operations and maintenance, because you still have services to provide. And again, you need to do the upkeep. And what has happened over the last 3, 4, 5 years is the pendulum has really swung too far, if you will, to the right under O&M and not enough to the left under development, modernization, and enhancement.
All right. And also, Jason, you're writing about a related topic in this week's Reporter's Notebook, and that is that the spring has kicked off a busy time for big IT RFPs. What's going on there?
Well, there's a couple going on. There's a bunch that are coming out, but I think the one I'll start with is the HR training contract called HCATS, Human Capital and Training Solutions. That was an $11.5 billion contract GSA awarded to 109 vendors in late April, early May. And right now that has now facing huge, huge protests. 14 vendors at least have filed protests with GAO. And I talked to Brian Friel from the principal with One Nation Analytics, and he goes, a lot of these protests are really just paperwork mistakes that the vendors made. And because the way GSA used a scoring system, it basically penalized them in a way, kicked them out. And one vendor told me, for instance, they just mislabeled some DVDs and got kicked out. And that's a big head scratcher when you have a big contract like this. Of course, that's going to end up with protests.
Yeah, that's like getting the third floor instead of the fifth floor on your envelope and then being rejected for that.
Exactly, because you were late. So what we know is GAO has 100 days to decide these bid protests. And GSA spokesman just got back to me recently and said that they have implemented a stay on the performance of these contracts until the protests are decided. And they, of course, look for a speedy resolution to get this HCATS contract going. Now, that's the first one. There's several others. I'll just go through them real quick. Alliant 2 RFP, Encore 3, which is already engulfed in protests from DISA, Defense Logistics Agency JETS, J6 Enterprise Technology Services, CMS, Army ITS, 8A STARS, NIH's CIOSP3. All of those are coming, have something going on in the procurement world that matters to a whole host of people.
It's enough to get a young man's blood running in the spring here as we have all of this IT activity. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
Always a pleasure.
You can read Jason's report right now, the Weekly Reporter's Notebook, at federalnewsradio.com. And share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.